Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good value, big upside.
Can we do it? Let's see if we can do it. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio. Jim Rome coming up next. Mraz is clinging to life now as we try to kill him via eggnog, ladies and gentlemen.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all, geico.com. It's a Target Demo Friday, so let me know what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, and how you're listening, and we'll read through those coming up here in about 20 minutes from now. We'll do so by hitting me up on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on our Facebook thread, facebook.com/TheDAShow. Joining us now is a good friend of the DA, respected journalist, host, and reporter for NBA TV. He is in Toronto for game number one and game number two of the NBA Finals, and my sparring partner last week when we debated Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and the legacy of the Golden State Warriors. Our friend, Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, joining us this morning on the show from the Great White North. Jared, good morning.
You must be really ticked off this morning.
Why?
Well, because the NBA Finals is not a foregone conclusion now.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I am so tired of the greatness and dynasty and dominance of the Warriors. So for that to be poked last night with the balloon, I am beyond thrilled.
But doesn't that open up your mind to the fact that, hey, even great teams are beatable, so that's why there is drama, and that's why it is worth your while to pay attention and not just assume that, you know, it's pretty much rubber stamped whoever's going to win?
Here's my problem, and this is not to attack you in any way because I don't want to get into a fight here. Last week was a lot of fun, but I don't know if that happens with Kevin Durant on the floor.
Right, but the next game, somebody else could get hurt, right? So that's the whole point of it, DA, is that you don't, you know.
Yeah, but that's kind of like saying, well, the Patriots wouldn't be great, or you don't know the Patriots going to be great because Tom Brady could rip his ACL. It's like, well,
yeah, exactly.
if we're hoping for that, that's not a good place to be. Like, that happened last night, and I'm super impressed by the Raptors and thrilled that we have a competitive series. But that doesn't happen if Kevin Durant is on the floor, don't you think?
I don't know. Do I think there's any chance the Raptors have to win the series if Kevin Durant plays? Probably not. But I think that there's a lot of external factors. Like, you know, I can't even try and put in proper perspective what this home court meant last night. Being in the building, you know, I've been in a lot of loud buildings. I would say 2012 for the Oklahoma City Thunder hosting the finals for the first time. Oracle, the first couple of years during their five-year run. This building last night stacked up there with any building I've ever been in for any sport.
Wow.
In terms of the volume, the energy from start to finish. I did some pregame stuff for NBA TV out in Jurassic Park. Those people started 15 hours before the game started.
Wow.
And at the national anthem, you know, for O Canada, people were just going crazy in the building, and it didn't stop until the game was over. Like, there was just this constant level of high energy. So I think those are some external factors that really played into last night helping the Raptors.
Well, here's the thing. That Toronto crowd, I think, has been wildly underrated for a long time because they've been waiting for the Raptors to really give them something to really cheer about without kind of feeling like there's a ceiling to how great they can be. And Kawhi, I think, gave that entire city now this totally different hope and belief. And last night, you're right, you could tell how palpable that energy was in that building. How important is the fact that the Raptors get to open this series at home because they had one more regular season win?
I think it's massive, DA. I think that, you know, the fact that not only they get to open at home, but they closed at home in game six as well.
Yeah.
So the 4 days off they had were spent not traveling. And I think that, you know, the Warriors, you're going to hear a lot. Steve Kerr last night tried to do his best to not make any excuses. He said, listen, if we would have won last night, people would have said, oh, it was due to the 9 days rest. But you guys now, because we had 9 days off, want to say it was rust. So he wasn't going to allow that to be an excuse. But I think for the Raptors, I think the home court thing is an advantage for the Raptors. It's not necessarily a disadvantage, if that makes sense, for the Warriors.
Jared Greenberg joins us from Toronto after game number one. Was it a good thing last night that the Raptors were able to do that without a sublime performance from Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. Because I think one of the biggest questions coming into this series was, if you're going to give Toronto a chance, is there any way that they could win this series without Kawhi Leonard being the Finals MVP? And from everyone I spoke to, and the, you know, conclusion I came to was the only chance they do have to win the title this year is if Kawhi Leonard is the Finals MVP. And I don't know that they can sustain what they did last night, but I think it's an incredibly positive sign that they were able to win a game when you know Kawhi has the ability to raise his level two or three notches.
I know it's not PC because you don't want to ever admit that you're not all in it with your teammates and live and die with your team, but doesn't there have to be a private part of Kevin Durant that's kind of silently satisfied that you can't now say that the Warriors are better without him?
No, because I think, listen, we're all human beings and we all have jealousy and we all have envy, and that's part of life. But I also think that some of us lose perspective on what it's like to be part of a team. And while I'm not going to sit here and say Kevin Durant hasn't thought about free agency or hasn't thought about his next move, I will say that I believe him when he says he's all, you know, the 100% buy-in on this team is what he's, you know, trying to focus on right now. So I don't think there's a part of him that goes home last night to his hotel room and says, all right, see, they're not better with me. Because I think the people who were speculating that they are better without him are people who are just trying to stir up nonsense and aren't truly know that much about it. You can't in any way fathom how the best player in the world not being on your team makes you better. Like, so I don't think he entertains that.
Oh, so now Kevin Durant's the best player in the world, not Steph Curry.
No, that was never in doubt. We put that up there last week. The only member of the person I said that you were ludicrous for putting out of Steph Curry was Giannis.
Okay, so you're going to say that it's KD 1, Steph 2 in the world right now.
No, I'd put Kawhi 2, LeBron 3, Steph 4.
Oh, wow.
It's the exact same order we did last week. You should go listen. Mraz probably has a tape.
Now,
I caught you there, huh? You wanted to get me, and then you realize you're wrong. Say it.
I just remember 10 minutes of you screaming about how great Steph Curry was, and so I just assumed that you thought he was the best player in the world because you were screaming so loud.
Right, but what I didn't understand was your argument that, yeah, I know this, but why are we still talking about it? Like, do you think of talking about Michael Jordan being the greatest player of all time?
No. I'm fine discussing Steph Curry's greatness. I'm saying I think that you're out to lunch when you say that he's underrated. Like, he's been voted a three-time first-team All-NBA player, including this year, and a two-time regular season MVP. Those are votes. So he's got to be pretty popular then.
Right. That's among 100 media members who submit votes. So I don't know that that speaks for the entire country or world population of basketball fans.
Well, does Steph Curry not have one of the highest-selling jerseys in the world?
Oh, no question.
So
no question.
I guess he's kind of popular too.
I think your point, though, is, and this speaks to your point about you're sick of the dominance of one team, is that you'd rather speak of less than great, and I'm saying I'd rather appreciate greatness.
No, I think that the success of the Warriors have been so evident, so overwhelming, that there's no need to have to keep propping them up with kind of like pseudo they're getting disrespected or they don't get enough appreciation. I mean, they're already historic. All of the players we've already put in the Hall of Fame, like Steph's getting in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
Kevin Durant is. Do we assume Clay,
I think we're disagreeing about different things here. My point is, why not appreciate that and make that part of your regular conversation as opposed to saying, oh, you know, there should be more parity in the league, or there should be more, you know, what the commissioner says is there should be more opportunity for parity, not necessarily parity. My point is you don't want to downplay or move away from the conversation about Michael Jordan or Wilt Chamberlain or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or the Lakers of the 80s or the Celtics of the 80s or the Pistons back-to-back, you don't move away from those conversations. With the Warriors, we try and distance ourselves from the conversation because we feel like it's an unfair advantage that they have, which I just don't understand how we can place that into a conversation when we don't. You say it's never been done before. And my point is they've never had the opportunity, other teams, to add players the way the Warriors have. So they're not breaking the rules. And it feels like we're trying to punish them and not appreciate or celebrate their greatness like we do for other historic teams and players.
Well, I don't want to go down to the rabbit hole of last week, but exactly what you said. It has never happened before because nobody ever had the rules to allow it to happen. So if it's never happened before...
You also never used a computer before a computer came out, right? So was it now an unfair advantage that you get to text your wife instead of having to call her? Back in the 80s, there was no such thing as texting.
But it's an unfair advantage for Stephen Hawking or a modern-day scientist versus Galileo. I mean, that's...
Does that make Galileo better?
Yeah, it may. Well, in some ways, absolutely. If you're able to come to the same conclusion without the computer of guys that had the computer and technology, of course.
Okay, so you should never get in a car and drive then.
What does that mean?
It's part of evolution and advancement and technology.
Well, I'm not saying don't use the computer now, but if we're comparing relative success, somebody that's able to succeed or accomplish something without the technology certainly should be admired more.
Okay, I guess we'll have to agree to disagree.
Well, okay, so in terms of parody and Adam Silver and this idea that I feel like the Warriors have sucked the joy and the life out of the NBA the last 3 years, you said like last night was an amazing night, the loudest you've ever heard it. And that is because a team that has never been there is now there and having success. Isn't that the argument for the parody? That don't we want more stories like Toronto Raptors fans finally having a moment instead of one team collecting all the talent and smashing everybody to bits?
I don't think it's a this or that. I think what the commissioner talks about is the opportunity for parody, the opportunity for more teams to be able to win. And I think what the commissioner is saying when he makes those comments is putting the onus on teams to be accountable for the development of players and drafting the right players and making the right trades and making the right investments and making sure that your analytics department and your sports science department and your athletic training department is all up to par. And I think there are a lot of teams in the league over the last several years who have kind of backed off and said, you know what, we'd rather not try than try. And I think that's a part of the vision of the league is that let's all buy in. Let's all go all in and put our chips to the center of the table.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, you don't want any teams that are just going to take off 3 years and wait this thing out. But, I mean, to me, Blazers and Raptors would have been so much fun because both...
Would it have been, though?
Because both fan bases.
Now, though, who are you talking about? Like in 20 years from now, when you look at the 2019 NBA Finals,
I'm not worried about what I'm talking about 20 years from now. I'm worried about right now and fan bases having exciting moments. And if it's the Blazers and the Raptors, then both fan bases have this amazing moment where they get to be at the precipice of greatness instead of having one team smash everybody to bits.
Last night was one of the lowest ratings in terms of the overnight ratings that we've gotten in so far. One of the lowest rated game ones we've had.
But I'm not worried about whether America at large cares. I worry about if you're a basketball fan, you know, having two teams with fan bases or coaches and players that have busted their butt to get there actually being rewarded instead of having the deck stacked against them because they can't be a landing spot for Kevin Durant.
Well, but until Kevin Durant had the opportunity to move, we didn't know that anyway, you know? So,
well, is the Portland Trail Blazers going to get Kawhi, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, or any of the top six free agents, even though they were in the Western Conference Finals? The answer is no. I mean, let's just face it. That's not in their worldview. So is that a good thing?
D.A., Golden State, next to the L.A. Clippers, no team has had more appearances in the draft lottery than Golden State Warriors. So if we would have talked 7 years ago about the Golden State Warriors becoming a dynasty, you would say that never could happen because they're one of the worst organizations in the NBA. Before Joe Lacob and Peter Gruber bought the team, they were one of the most dysfunctional franchises in all of sports.
Totally agree.
To say to say this stuff can't happen is to ignore the history and the evolution of this league and how teams move on. Like, Golden State was in the position that so many teams are in these days. Like, the Warriors were a joke. Joe Lacob got booed at half court for trading Monte Ellis.
I know, and they hit the lottery. They nailed their draft picks. You're right.
Right, and they never had a top five pick in doing so. So my point is, to say that the Warriors have this unfair advantage, my point is they created the unfair advantage because they just made a lot of great decisions that other organizations have not ever made.
Okay.
And that's not their fault.
But you're admitting that it's an unfair advantage, so that's exactly saying.
No. I'm using your words. I'm not admitting it. I'm using your words.
Well, you don't think that a team that has potentially three or four Hall of Famers already on it, adding the greatest player in the game, creates an unfair advantage?
Again, like, just because things have never been done before doesn't mean they can't be done.
Okay, so the 1996 Bulls come off of another championship.
I'm working with Isaiah Thomas
and add Shaq.
But by the way, we'll be on at 1 p.m. Eastern today on NBA TV. And Isaiah Thomas has said, as much as he hated Michael Jordan, if he would have had the opportunity to join the Bulls in the 90s due to free agency, he would have done it.
Okay, but I'm not grading out the what could have been. So I'm grading out the what is. And so if the 1996 Bulls add Shaq, are we not like, all right, this is stupid, this is ridiculous?
And they go on to win five. When you join CBS Sports Radio, like, the greatness that they got, it was unfair to all the other sports radio stations.
The unfair advantage of the DA show overnight, 2A until 6A.
Right.
I mean, I think you have a perspective on the NBA that is sometimes colored by wanting the league to be as great as it is because you cover it every single day because, you know, you're on NBA TV. But I think if you would suck yourself out of that perspective, you'd realize for most of America, it's not great to watch the Warriors every single year.
Rating finals was LeBron versus Kevin Durant.
Well,
we bring in a team from Canada where the rating doesn't count in Canada for America, and people aren't watching because there's no second market to buy in to really invest in the finals.
I know, but so don't you think part of that is Warriors fatigue?
No.
You don't think any part of that is Warriors fatigue and the inevitability that the Warriors would win this series?
Sure, but then you got to tell me Game 2 is a record-setting finals in terms of ratings then, because now the Warriors have lost.
Well, it's not going to swing that dramatically, but...
No, but what's your explanation for why people bought into LeBron versus Durant?
Well,
because they want to see the best two players in the league play for the ultimate championship.
All right, but do you think that the Raptors versus LeBron of the Lakers would be higher rated? Yes, of course!
But LeBron is his own stratosphere, right, when it comes to ratings.
That's now a qualifier. I mean, what else are we going to take out of this equation? Okay,
if you put the Blazers in this finals and they would have played last night, it would have probably been the lowest rated finals in NBA finals history.
But that's also a super small market without any star on it. I mean, that's not a fair comparison either. If you're going to take LeBron out of the mix, then you got to take one of the smallest markets without a star in there out of the mix.
Right. Okay.
Let's find a happy medium.
Okay.
You got one?
No.
Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, joining us from Toronto. Once again, can you please plug your coverage with Isaiah Thomas?
1 p.m. Eastern, Steve Smith, Isaiah Thomas. We'll be on NBA TV. We've got a pseudo-media day coverage here as we get through the next 2 days before game two on Sunday.
Have a great show. We will be watching. Guys, enjoy game two, and we'll talk to you again, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right. Jared Greenberg joining us from NBA TV.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.